In this episode of the Canvas Digest podcast, we explore how to promote authentic, student-driven dialogue in the classroom through the use of Socratic seminars. The episode highlights practical ways to encourage participation while addressing the growing challenge of AI dependence in academic discussions. We invite you to rediscover the power of genuine inquiry and human connection as essential components of transformative learning.
Welcome. So we're diving into the Socratic seminar,
yeah.
This powerful ancient technique that's being revived right now to keep the human vase central. Okay, let's unpack this. What exactly is a Socratic seminar, and why is this specific format such a defense against information overload?
At its core, the source material defines it as a structured, student-driven discussion. But, and this is the crucial part, it is rooted in questioning ideas rather than declaring answers.
Okay, so it's not a space to show off what you already know.
Not at all. It's a space for figuring out what you collectively don't know. It's fundamentally about the journey of inquiry, not about landing on a single right response.
I see.
Precisely. And what's fascinating here is that the real power is in the shared experience in discovering meaning together through listening, through rigorous reasoning, and especially through respectful disagreement.
That process of developing an idea, seeing it from different angles, challenging your own assumptions, and that process develops what higher education calls habits of mind. The source material points to three critical skills: critical thinking, active listening, and embrace uncertainty. But what do those skills actually look like in action?
That's the crux of it, especially with AI in the room. Let's take ethical reasoning. An algorithm can process 100 moral frameworks, can calculate the most utilitarian outcome.
It can simulate a dilemma perfectly.
Perfectly. But it cannot develop the ethical friction that comes from struggling with those arguments alongside other humans in real time.
Ethical friction. What do you mean by that?
I mean that real ethical reasoning, it requires internal conflict and empathy. And those are rooted in lived human experience. When you sit across from someone whose viewpoint is just as valid as yours but completely contradicts it, you feel a consequence.
A need for compromise.
Or just a moment of profound recognition of a shared humanity. The AI, it lacks any real motivation or consequence, so it just simulates the process. It doesn't learn from it. These are the habits, the reasoning skills that no algorithm can truly replicate.
So we've established the why. It develops these uniquely human skills. But getting these seminars started often hits that same wall, the quiet room. You've prepped great questions and you're just met with silence.
Or the same two or three voices dominating.
Yes. And this is where the source material really shines, by offering practical solutions for what it calls equity of voice.
So where do you start?
You don't jump to the tough questions. You start with the environment. The material is clear. Before anyone opens their mouth, we have to define the rules of engagement. That's strategy one, setting norms for inquiry.
You have to model the behavior you want to see, so the leader has to show curiosity over certainty.
Exactly. Instead of demanding a definitive statement, they should use modeling questions. Things like, what specific evidence in the text supports that view? Or, maybe even more powerfully, how does this idea challenge an assumption you held coming into this?
That reframes the whole thing. It sends a message that curiosity is more valuable than being certain.
And that intellectual vulnerability is okay. It's encouraged. Okay, so that handles the mindset. But what about the structure? Strategy two is designing the physical space for equity.
Yes, you have to physically structure the conversation so everyone gets a chance to speak. And maybe more importantly, to listen without feeling that pressure to jump in right away.
And that's the inner and outer circle format, right?
That's the one cited most often. The inner group discusses the text. But crucially, the outer group isn't just sitting there passively. They are observing the conversation dynamics, taking notes.
But why is that observation so critical? Don't they feel left out?
It's vital because it teaches metacognition. The outer circle is analyzing the process itself. You know, who's dominating? Are there logical fallacies popping up? Is the group building on ideas or just making separate points?
They're learning the mechanics of a good dialogue.
Precisely. Skills we often neglect when we're just focused on what we're going to say next. And then when they switch, the observers carry those insights into the discussion.
That's brilliant. It makes listening an active analytical task. And you can rotate discussion leaders too, so everyone gets to experience facilitating.
Moving on to the third strategy, which is critical for just getting those first words out. We call it priming and psychological safety.
Ah, so this is about reducing anxiety.
A simple but powerful trick is having students do some low-stakes prep. Maybe just writing one question or one key insight on an index card beforehand.
So they have an entry point. They're not inventing something on the spot. But even with that, a lot of students still hesitate. How do you create an environment where someone feels safe enough to struggle out loud?
You have to normalize hesitation, and you have to do it explicitly. State that it's okay to pause, to rethink, to ask for clarification. The deep insight here is that the moment a student feels safe to struggle out loud, that's genuine learning and progress.
So we need to stop celebrating only the smooth, confident answer.
And start celebrating the courageous struggle to articulate a complex thought.
Which leads perfectly into the final strategy, assessment. Because how we grade communicates what we really value.
Exactly. If we value struggle and reflection, we have to change how we grade, shifting the focus away from performance. You know, did I talk enough, to growth? Did I grow enough?
And you do that with reflective writing. Assessment via reflection, asking students to write about what shifted in your thinking today. But how do you grade that without students just writing what they think you want to hear? Isn't there a risk of it becoming performative?
It's a valid concern, but the defense is robust. You grade the evidence of struggle, the specificity of the shift. A good reflection doesn't just say, I agreed with Sarah. It says, I initially interpreted this metaphor as just decorative, but when Michael connected it to the theme of abandonment, my whole interpretation shifted. Now I see it carrying the emotional weight of the chapter. You're grading the process of internal change.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's pivot to the heart of the modern conflict, which is the chatbot in the room. If students can use AI for perfect summaries and pre-written responses, it just drains the life from the seminar.
It absolutely does. And this is a design problem. We have to design the seminar to require the one thing AI fundamentally lacks: spontaneity. The heart of dialogue is listening, responding, shaping ideas in the moment. AI can give you information, it can even synthesize it beautifully, but it can't offer genuine real-time reasoning because its processing happened hours ago.
Yeah.
We have to design questions that demand an immediate human response.
So technique one, ask questions AI can't easily pre-bake. Connect to lived experiences.
Exactly. Ask a question that requires a personal contextual connection. If you ask, what is the theme of this poem? AI will nail it.
Right.
But if you ask, how does the theme of separation in this poem resonate with something you've personally witnessed in your community? Well, that requires a subjective synthesis that current AI really struggles to fake convincingly. The answer is tied to their identity.
Technique two is requiring that real-time thinking. So we have to discourage relying on those pre-written polished notes.
A simple practical method for this is encouraging handwritten notes during the discussion. This isn't just some quirky throwback. It keeps students mentally present. It forces them to listen to their peers and adjust their own thinking on the fly instead of just reading a preloaded prompt.
And technique three, and this might be the biggest shift, is to embrace uncertainty.
Yes. We have to get comfortable with not knowing the answer right away.
Because that's where the real learning happens.
Discomfort and uncertainty is where the real growth happens, and that's something AI can't feel or fake. When students feel pressure to have a perfect answer, they'll turn to the algorithm for safety. When they realize the value is in the messy process of inquiry, they engage genuinely.
There was a really great success story in the literature course where the professor made a small shift.
Yes, a fantastic example. The professor started discussions not by asking for summaries, but just by having students bring one open-ended why question about the text. They were graded on the depth of the question, not the answer.
And what happened?
At first, students were resistant, but by week five, they were running the entire conversation themselves. That quiet student in the corner was suddenly leaning forward, debating the interpretation of a single comma. And critically, no one was reading from their screens.
They shifted from content consumption, which AI is great at, to content interrogation,
which requires human agency. Fostering that dialogue becomes more than just teaching content. It's the act of mentoring thinkers, empowering them to be informed, ethical, engaged members of society.
That's a goal that goes way beyond any single text.
And that's what reinforces that the Socratic method isn't just some retro tool for the humanities. It's an essential counterbalance to the information overload that every professional is facing.
Absolutely. When you're constantly getting pre-digested answers, the ability to question, reason, and listen together is what preserves critical thought in any field.
So for you listening, here is your final actionable challenge. We've covered the theory, we've covered the strategies. Now try using just one Socratic question in your next important conversation.
With anyone.
Anyone, make it a question that opens up curiosity instead of closing the exchange with an answer.
And just observe how that single shift changes the tone, the depth of the entire exchange. And that leaves us with this final provocative thought. If AI can perfectly simulate the answer, what enduring value does that place on the uniquely human ability to passionately, ethically, and spontaneously refine the question itself?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Canvas Digest podcast. We hope it inspired you to reimagine the role of dialogue in your teaching and to create spaces where students think, question, and learn together without relying on AI shortcuts. As you plan your next class discussion, remember that authentic inquiry begins with courage, curiosity, and connection. Keep the conversation going with your colleagues, and let's continue cultivating classrooms where the human voice leads the learning.